March 20th readings. Justin Martyr Dialogue with Trypho, chapters 7-8. Seeking truth, should one trust a teacher? Should anyone, then, employ a teacher? I asked. Or where may one find truth if not even in them? There were men long before our time, more ancient than the philosophers, righteous and beloved by God. They spoke by the divine spirit, foretelling events that have now come to pass. These men are called prophets. They alone saw and proclaimed the truth, without fear or ambition, speaking only what they received from God. The prophets as witnesses of truth. The writings of these prophets remain, and whoever reads them gains insight into the beginning and end of all things, if he believes them. Unlike philosophers, the prophets did not rely on human reasoning to prove their words, for they were direct witnesses of divine truth. The fulfillment of their prophecies confirms their reliability, and they performed miracles that glorified the Creator and proclaimed His Son, the Christ. True versus false prophets. False prophets, on the other hand, act under the influence of deceitful spirits. They perform wonders, not to glorify God, but to deceive men, leading them into error and worship of demons instead of the Creator. If you truly seek wisdom, pray that the gates of light may be open to you, for these truths are not understood by all, but only by those to whom God and His Christ impart understanding. A fire is kindled in Justin's soul. After speaking many other things, too many to recount now, he departed, urging me to consider his words. I have not seen him since. But a fire was kindled within me, a love for the prophets and those who are friends of Christ. As I pondered his words, I found that this philosophy alone was true, safe, and profitable. This is why I became a philosopher. The transforming power of Christ's words. I wish that others would resolve as I have, not keeping themselves from the words of the Savior. His words hold great power, bringing fear to those who turn away from righteousness and peace to those who embrace them. If you truly desire salvation, if you believe in God, then seek to know Christ, be initiated into His truth, and live a life of blessedness. Trypho's skepticism. Upon hearing this, Trypho's friends laughed, but Trypho himself, smiling, replied, "I appreciate your devotion and your pursuit of divine knowledge. But you would do better to remain in the philosophy of Plato or another wise teacher, practicing endurance, self-control, and virtue, rather than being led astray by mere words. If you stay within that philosophical path and live virtuously, you may still hope for a better destiny. But by abandoning true wisdom and trusting in the teachings of men, what security remains for you?" Trypho's call to Jewish law. If you are willing to listen to me, my friend, first be circumcised, then observe the Sabbath, the feasts, and all the laws God has given. Perhaps then you will obtain mercy. As for Christ, if he was truly born and exists somewhere, he remains unknown and powerless until Elijah comes to anoint him and reveal him to the world. You have accepted an unfounded rumor and fashioned a Christ for yourselves. Because of this, you are perishing without cause. Augustine of Hippo. Confessions, Book 5, Chapter 5. Faith is the basis of human life. I began to see that the Catholic faith was far more reasonable than the teachings of the Manichaeans. While the Church called for belief in things not yet proven, the Manichaeans mocked faith yet demanded belief in the most absurd and unfounded claims. They promised knowledge but instead presented empty speculations that could never be demonstrated. I realized how much they had deceived me, and I began to turn away from their false promises. The gentle leading of God. Yet, O Lord, you did not leave me to wander blindly. With a merciful and patient hand, you gradually drew my heart toward the truth. You opened my eyes to how much in life depends on faith. Without faith, what could we do? We trust in historical events we never witnessed. We believe in the existence of cities we have never visited. We accept the testimony of others, friends, physicians, teachers, without seeing everything for ourselves. Most of all, we believe in our own parents' testimony about our birth, though we could never prove it ourselves. If we refuse to believe in anything unseen, life itself would be impossible. The authority of Scripture. Because of this, you persuaded me that those who rejected your Scriptures were the ones to be blamed, not those who believed them. You had established these sacred writings with authority across nearly all nations. Their universal reach was proof that they were not the work of men but of God. Many asked me, How do you know these scriptures were given to mankind by the Spirit of the one true and most true God? But I saw that this was the very thing most worthy of belief. No amount of argument from self-contradicting philosophers could shake my conviction that you exist, though I did not yet fully understand your nature. You govern human affairs, whether men recognize it or not. Though I still lacked knowledge of your substance and the way to return to you, I understood that reason alone was too weak to find the truth. That is why you gave us divine revelation. The depth and humility of the scriptures. I now saw that you would never have allowed the scriptures to spread throughout the world if it had not been your will to be known through them. The very passages that once seemed offensive or irrational to me, I now understood to be profound mysteries. I had once rejected them, but when I heard reasonable explanations, I saw that the fault was in my own understanding, not in the scriptures themselves. Their authority now appeared to me even greater because they were accessible to all. Anyone could read their words, even the simplest of men. Yet they contained deep mysteries. They did not reveal everything at once but required humble seeking. By their humility, they welcomed multitudes. The scriptures drew people in through their plain and simple style. Through their depth, they led some into greater wisdom. While many entered, only those who sought deeply could reach the fullness of their truth. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:6. The scriptures were like this. They appeared simple, but for those with wisdom, they revealed the majesty of divine mysteries. God's guiding hand. These were my meditations, and you, O Lord, were with me. When I sighed, you heard me. When I wavered, you guided me. When I wandered the wide roads of the world, you did not abandon me. You continued to lead me, even as I struggled with doubt. Though I did not yet fully grasp the truth, you were bringing me closer to it. Thomas Aquinas. Summa Theologica, Part 1, Question 42. Are the persons of the Trinity equal to one another? Objection. It seems that the divine persons are not equal to one another, because the Son proceeds from the Father, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from both. If one person originates from another, it would seem that there is a form of priority or superiority in the one from whom the other proceeds. Responsio. We must say that the persons of the Trinity are perfectly equal in divinity, power, and majesty. In human relationships, a father is greater than a son because he precedes him in time and is the source of his being. However, in God, this is not the case. Eternally, the Father begets the Son, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from both, but this does not introduce inequality. The divine nature is fully possessed by each person from all eternity. The Son does not receive a diminished version of the divine essence, nor does the Holy Spirit receive less than the Father and the Son. Instead, all three possess the fullness of divinity without division or hierarchy. This is why Christ says, I and the Father are one. John 10:30. Although he is begotten by the Father, he is not lesser than the Father. Likewise, the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, is not subordinate to either. Their distinction is based solely on their relationships, not on any inequality of being or power. Thus, in the Trinity, there is order but not superiority, distinction but not division, relationship but not inequality. A quick summa. Aquinas teaches that the persons of the Trinity are fully equal, despite their relational distinctions. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit each possess the fullness of the divine nature without any hierarchy or subordination. The differences between them arise from their eternal relationships, not from any inequality in essence or power.